Now, we do want to hear from you. Do please get in touch. We have a couple of questions for you tonight. That latter headline there, the Electoral Commission's call for opinions on the future of election posters. Are they vital to electoral participation, or in an era of increasingly stronger winds, are they potentially lethal projectiles? And also Vote All. You might recall last night we discussed the Clark of the Dáil's report to the Ceann Comhairle, which said that as the word Vote All did not appear in the Dáil transcript, it wasn't heard, potentially. The opposition said the video of the Dáil said otherwise, and the audio on that video, when you listen back, a voice does indeed call out. So who's the mystery voice behind the Vote All that didn't make it into the transcript? And what happens about the discrepancy between the record and the audio? Text us on 51551, WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32. Find us on Blue Sky at Late Debate RTE, and you can also watch the programme now at rte.ie/radio1, or when prime time's over, you can catch us on the RTE News channel. Now, let's go to the week that was. Gabby, what happened today? It was a calmer Dáil today, it should be said, before we get into the events of the week. How was it?
Well, in comparison, it was a very calm, orderly Dáil. Of course, you have both Taoiseach and Tánaiste travelling overseas. So it was Pascal Donoghue, the Finance Minister, taking questions in Dáil Éireann as part of Leaders' Questions. And the Dáil heard how a very serious story. There was hundreds of unnecessary hip surgeries that were taking place on young children, and some of may have been carried out for financial gain. This is in relation to Capa and Temple Street hospitals. Around 561 hip surgeries on young children not medically warranted, and this is follows reports in the Ditch website. But of course, this is much more orderly, normal return to business for Leaders' Questions than we saw earlier in the week, and perhaps an indication of things to come. We do have that motion of no confidence in the Ceann Comhairle next week. She's expected to win that very comfortably. We did have a statement from her. She broke her silence, if you will, yesterday evening. You know, she's very much so fighting back, and you have this report from the clerk around proceedings of the Dáil. He's finding no issues around, in his opinion.
Right, and issue with Leaders' Questions about those operations, the hip operations on children, raised by Sinn Féin finance spokesperson Piers Doherty. He had also asked the Ceann Comhairle, would she review the transcript of Dáil proceedings as well, and she said she would, look also at the video.
Yes, of course. So this is the issue over the Vote All, as you're hearing in the clip that we played there. Basically, my understanding of the procedure is that it's up to TDs to ask the Ceann Comhairle for the vote on the order of business if they don't agree with it. The Ceann Comhairle's position is that there was nobody said Vote All, so the vote wasn't called. In the video, yes, you can hear somebody saying Vote All. It's not clear who it is, or whether or not the Ceann Comhairle heard it. Of course, right. There was
the Ceann Comhairle
so much noise
in the video at this is consulting with the clerk of the Dáil at the same time as that word is being uttered, although it is audible on.
So it's not
on
her saying it to somebody else, but maybe she might not have heard it. I mean, it was very loud in the Dáil chamber that day.
Yeah, and it's a woman uttering it. We don't know who it is, as we say, but you know. Maybe the wisdom of the crowds out there, the listeners, have a bit of an expert ability to identify it. Paul Donnelly, yeah?
Can I say, look, every single Tuesday there is a vote on the order of business. Mm. Every single Tuesday. It is inconceivable that a person wouldn't assume that there was going to be a vote, because we always assume every Tuesday there will be a vote on the order of business.
All right. Although it's not in the public record of the Dáil, so that would seem to indicate that the stenographer is sitting in front of the Ceann Comhairle and the clerk didn't hear it either.
Mm. Or chose not to.
Well, or couldn't we don't hear it over the roar.
Sure, if they heard it, the order of business would have passed.
Which is the clerk.
It would have passed, but there would have been a vote. The problem was that.
But
hang on
a second. For the record, we can't make any assumptions about what was heard or what choices. The clerk of the Dáil has concluded that it's not in the public record and therefore wasn't heard. Now, you may disagree with that because it's audible in the video, but you know, we can't surmise as to why it's not in the in the record of the Dáil. Anyway, Teresa Reedy, what did you make of the events this week?
Well, I think the first thing is just reflecting on our conversation is that the raucous scenes in the Dáil, they have consequences. in that we now don't know exactly what was agreed or was not agreed in the course of the Dáil's business on Tuesday. So were the standing orders changed? My understanding just from the Irish Independent this evening is that Sinn Féin have written to the Ceann Comhairle saying that they see serious issues with the report. Now, there isn't a straightforward way of revisiting the Dáil record, which is exactly this point, that these kinds of scenes have consequences. It's not just that the public is turned off politics, that it kind of diminishes the view of Parliament and the view of politicians, but it also affects the way in which business is done. So I think it's not good for politics. In terms of what happens next, I mean, I think you need to separate out the procedural outcomes of what will happen next week from the potential political outcomes. So right now, the Ceann Comhairle is facing most likely what will end up being a vote of confidence. And that will pass comfortably because the government has the numbers, and that'll be the procedural outcome of the event. But there will be political consequences, and one of those is that we don't know if Fiona Murphy is left in situ. Is there a possibility that this really deep seated row about the speaking in the Parliament, will that continue? Will it maybe fade and reappear? There's no doubt that Fiona Murphy will be in a weakened state as a consequence. Even if she survives this, the nature of the Ceann Comhairle's position is such that it's critical that she has the support and the working relationship with all parts in the Dáil. She has to have that.
That's custom and practice up until this point.
It's more than custom and practice, though. It's absolutely essential for her to do her work.
But there's nothing in the standing orders that says she must resign if she doesn't enjoy the confidence of both sides. So my point is that, you know, it has been custom and practice heretofore that the Ceann Comhairle is there by agreement and enjoys the confidence of both sides of the House till they don't. But everybody has described the scenes in the Dáil this week as unprecedented. So if custom and practice is being departed from, then Fiona Murphy staying in place is just one more unprecedented thing we can throw on the heap this week.
But that's why it comes back to this distinction between the procedural outcome is that Fiona Murphy will be left in place. But ultimately, there will be political consequences that will flow from that. I mean, the role of the Ceann Comhairle, you know, the person is responsible for the management of the House, the Committee on Privilege, the Business Committee. They effectively represent the Parliament. And to do those kinds of roles effectively, you must have political buy-in from all sides of the House.
Right.
Yes, you can stay in the role, but actually carrying out the duties and fulfilling your responsibilities will become very difficult. So it's not that there is an immediate requirement for her to step down, it's that fulfilling those duties will become ever more difficult, and she has had a very difficult start, and so procedurally, yes, she will be left there, but politically her position becomes more and more difficult.
All right, Grace Boland, what's your understanding of what will happen next week? The opposition parties will table this motion. There'll be a government counter motion. Is it your understanding that this is a matter in which a whip will be enforced as per, you know, any other type of government voting?
What I'd like to say is, from the very start of this Dáil, the opposition has set out to be difficult and obstructive. And that culminated in the really awful scenes we saw on Tuesday. What we as elected representatives need to be doing is actually focusing on the really serious issues facing our country and internationally. In the US, we're going to see tariffs introduced again next week. We have a war on the continent of Europe, and we need to be focusing on dealing with those issues, making sure that we are doing the best for Ireland and working with our European partners. And we need to make sure that we are getting on with the business of the Dáil. I was elected by the people.
What would you say, though, to the opposition charge that this is important? Values matter. This cuts to the heart of democracy, and an attempted wheeze to have government TDs on opposition benches using opposition time during leaders' questions is simply unacceptable. And any version of that is unacceptable.
I'm an elected TD. I believe in the democratic process. It is important, but the people are sick and tired of hearing us fight over a couple of minutes here and a couple of minutes there. They want us to get on with focusing on the real issues. The Ceann Comhairle will absolutely have the confidence of the government TDs. And you know, we need to get on with the business of doing what we were elected to do, get committees set up and get on with working.
Right. Paul Donnelly, the issue Pearse Doherty raised today of that report on operations that were carried out, with some doubt being cast over whether or not those operations were necessary, hip operations on children. That's a pretty important issue, but in any other week, in any other time, perhaps that would have been the first thing raised in leaders' questions during the week. Is there a kind of a failure to prioritise here?
Not at all. And the fact that he did mention it today, despite all of the other things that were going on, shows the importance of the issue that Pearse raised. But look, we have to look at this in terms of the way this government has started. It has started in an extremely arrogant manner. And it goes back to the grubby deal that was done with Michael Lowry. And the beginning of that deal was to make sure that Verona Murphy was the Kiln Carla. The second part of that deal, and actually the only piece of legislation, was to make sure that the super juniors got their pay and all of the nice jobs that they have in the cabinet. And the other part was to ensure that Michael Lowry and the other three TDs were assured that they wouldn't have to sit on the government benches as government TDs.
Okay,
but that's really important.
There has been a consistent approach by opposition parties to look back at the origin of Verona Murphy's candidacy for Kiln Carla and say this proves a lack of objectivity on Verona Murphy's part. And yet she was the very Kiln Carla who ruled that her former colleagues in the regional independent group were not opposition TDs, that they were in fact government TDs.
Well, actually, that was legal advice that she had gotten, that was the position. And she accepted that legal advice. So she didn't make that decision herself. That was legal advice that was given to her by senior counsel. But the real point of it was that Verona Murphy had an opportunity the other day to really set out that she is fair and that she is impartial. And she failed on all of those counts on that day. And when we look at it, you can clearly hear from the clip that you played at the beginning that there was a vote that was called on the day. Again, as I said to you earlier on, It's virtually inconceivable to think that there wasn't going to be a vote that was called. And yet she pushed that through. The second was that she completely ignored. And again, I'm there over 5 years now. This is my second term. I have never seen QPL being dismissed off the Dáil business. That was just pushed. She just completely ignored it, moved on. And then...
All right. OK, let's hear the full clip of what was going on at the time. Because we did play the word vote Dáil, but... Here's just to give a sense of the scene. Here's the longer clip.
We will move for the chief whip to move the order of business. Kiln Carla. Movements of this week's business agreed. Vote on.
All right. That's- All right, there's, in case anybody needed reminding.
But it's very clear, like, she's shouting to be heard because there's such loud noise coming from the opposition benches. Like, of course, she probably didn't hear it. Like, there was shouting and roaring. So, I mean, I think you can only take the Kiln Carla and the parliamentary staff's word for that they didn't hear it. Like, I don't know. What is the reason for them to not? And even if there was a vote on the order of business, like, it would have passed anyway.
Well, we were sitting there waiting on the vote to be called.
Because that's the outcome.
Because
the
that's what
vote.
We do every single week.
But it wasn't a normal week, clearly.
But of course it wasn't a normal week. But that is what we do every single week. And I challenge everybody to go back every Tuesday, have a look at that particular time
it does happen
during
every
the Dáil, and it happens every single week.
But Paul,
week.
The reality
so
is...
So for Verona Murphy to claim that, again, that she did, right. A, that she didn't hear it, but the fact that this happens every single week, she should have said, this is going to happen.
Grace, yeah, but I think
the reality is, it was deafening.
I'll come back to you in a moment, Teresa Reedy.
It was absolutely deafening in the Dáil chamber. I have never witnessed anything like it. I've been in courtrooms. I have been in very contentious meetings. I have never witnessed anything like it. It was so loud.
But you accept that we heard it there, vote always said. Is there a need to revisit what happened last week in light of that?
The clerk and the Count Corla and the clerk's team are working in an extremely difficult situation. Mm. They can only record what they heard, and they have done that.
Okay. Teresa Reedy?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say that like the Cian Cúrla also is responsible for the orderly conduct of business. And there are also lots of standing orders that talk about how the Cian Cúrla has written down they have the authority to suppress disorder and to enforce prompt obedience to their rulings. Like, so there's a selection of standing orders being used here. There was such disorder in the chamber that it's quite obvious that nobody could hear what was going on. For my part, I think my money is on Rose Conway Walsh as the person who called out Vote All in the background. But like, these matters are very serious, and you can't deny reality. You can hear what's on the clip, so of course it has to be ultimately right. revisited. But these are all distractions, because nothing that we've heard this evening gives us any sense of what the resolution to this issue is. Are we going to be revisiting right. this every week, and for how long is it going to run?
That's your opinion on that. Would you have a view on a sentiment that was expressed by a number of people on the opposition benches? There seems to be an outbreak of Sean O'Farrell nostalgia that this wouldn't have happened with Sean O'Farrell. I mean, give us your thoughts on that first.
I mean, I think you can look back over Dáil in the past, and we've seen plenty of examples of kind of raucous conduct and disorder. I suppose the difference is that if we go back over the last kind of 10 years or so, a lot of the most heated debates involved kind of intense contestation about matters of policy. So most of us will remember very, very difficult scenes in the Dáil in relation to promissory notes, water charges, that the chamber was suspended on a number of occasions in relation to those debates. Lapgate was occurred on the night of a really difficult debate in relation to potential abortion legislation. So there have been lots of incidents in the past. I think these scenes, they're protracted, and they look like they're going to run over a number of weeks, which is why they're kind of a little bit different. But they're certainly not unique in any sense. That we've seen plenty of these kinds of examples, but they tended to be more policy focused than procedural okay. in nature.
Paul Donnelly, you've talked about how there's always a vote on the order of business, and you know there should be adherence to the standing orders of the Dáil. But like, one of the things that came up during the week is that repeatedly the Cian Cúrla got to her feet and said, "I'm standing. Nobody else should be standing when I'm standing," and nobody paid a blind bit of attention to her. Mm. They stayed on their feet and kept shouting. Is that acceptable?
Well, look, I think at the end of the day, you have limited opportunities. If you have a majority of the government and you feel very strongly that something like this, which we believe is an absolutely fundamental position, is that you cannot be a TD in opposition and in be government and government at the same time. You have to make a stand. You have to make a protest.
Okay, and
at some level, does that mean taking protests like that? Well, I think it does.
Okay, but that say, for example, even during leaders' questions, you know, there was shouting during, you know, the Taoiseach's answer. I mean, there's surely a time for making that protest in your time when you're on the mic and actually the people who are tuned into the channel can hear you.
Well, look, I mean, that happens on both sides all of the time. That when people are speaking, there are on occasion where people will disagree with what the person is saying and will interrupt. It happens quite a lot. And again, there's been plenty of examples over the years where it has happened on both sides and has been quite loud.
I think that when it happens over policy, I think that's probably what people at home, when they're after going to the polls in November, voting for their local TD, the TD is now on six-figure salaries plus expenses, plus allowances, plus whatever top-ups they're going to be entitled to, they want to see them fighting over policy.
Well, can I tell you, I was on Tuesday morning, I was in the GP's. Three people stopped me in the GP and said, "Do they think we're fools?"
All right. I want to go to Grace Bowen on this. I mean,
three.
How do you feel as a government backbencher that in this era of increased military spending, that you're in effect Michael Lowry's camouflage uniform in the Dáil? That this is a scheme that has been invented to, as I say, provide camouflage for Michael Lowry?
I don't think we need to re-debate the points over backbencher TDs getting speaking time. What we need to talk about is what is going to happen next week. What's really important is what are the opposition going to do when the Count Comhairle has full confidence in her and the motion passes? Are the opposition going to pick up their ball and walk away?
Would you accept that the principle of backbencher speaking time has been subordinated in the public mind to the image of Michael Lowry sticking up two fingers?
I think what happened, I think the gesture that happened was very regrettable, but I don't speak for Michael Lowry.
Right. But you would like, in terms of the public who are tuning into the debate, the issue of backbencher speaking time is relatively esoteric by comparison to that image.
I think the scenes that happened on Tuesday were absolutely abhorrent. The clerk and his staff were working in unbelievably ridiculous environment in our national parliament, in a parliament where we legislate for safe work practices. It's simply not good enough.
Gabby, your paper had it on the front page.
Yeah, and so did many others. I mean, that was appalling, really. There was no defending that gesture. And in fairness, I think at first government was kind of caught off hand by it. They watched the video, they probably couldn't quite believe it. Then they were kind of saying, well, isn't there an explanation behind it? Like, really, it was what it was. Paul Murphy took the video. You're not allowed to film in the Dáil chamber, fair enough. But really, for people perhaps who may have not been following the row and the speaking rights in and outs and all the different motions and proposals that have been tabled by both sides, like that photograph, it just speaks 1,000 words.
All right, Teresa Reedy, this is, I'd say, the last thing that the government wanted. They were trying to steer this in the direction of the rights of the poor benighted backbenchers who don't get to speak and have less speaking time than their opposition colleagues, and then that's the image that comes out of it.
It's just disrespect. It's disrespect to Parliament. It's disrespect to the voters who put Michael Lowry there, but to the voters who put every other member of Parliament there. They expect Parliament and business politics to be conducted properly. And it in many respects, it captured kind of the mood of the moment, which is why it was on the front page of all the newspapers and generated 1,000 memes all over social media.
Right, but it's not just any old TD, is it? It's somebody with two convictions against whom serious findings have been made in a tribunal report which he disputes but has never legally challenged.
And the other thing is that he's really been at the centre of this kind of conflict or dispute over the last number of months, because he has had an outsized impact on the kind of coalition negotiations and then the government formation. And it's interesting because it contrasts quite sharply. I mean, Michael Lowry has supported a number of governments and always did so very quietly, almost invisibly, but the Dáil record will show that he was fairly constant in his support for governments. But this time around, he was a visible presence. And actually, on the first day, going back to when the Taoiseach was supposed to have been elected, I mean, he actually held a press conference briefly right in front of the doors of the Dáil. So he was really kind of front and centre. And that is a very difficult situation for the government to find themselves in, because they are so directly connected to him. And his is such a difficult... His conduct has been the subject of so much scrutiny and so much critical reaction, even by people in the government. And that's partly at the centre of why this kind of drags on and on. And it's led to like a coarseness in the language, just even in terms of the way some TDs are referred to. They're called lackeys now. There's constant referencing of grubby deals. There's a kind of an aggressiveness to how politics is being done. And these things are not without consequence, because this kind of unpleasant atmosphere, I mean, this will be resolved. There's nothing surer than that. But this kind of unpleasantness will leave resonances, and it will affect how politics is done. Perhaps not for the full remainder of the term, but at least for the foreseeable future.
All right. All outrage aside, Paul Donnelly, it's great, isn't it? I mean, that two-finger picture, the involvement of Michael Lowry, you know, it's grist to the mill of opposition.
It's not. It's actually, it's dreadful. It's dreadful because we do...
You get three people approaching you in a GP's surgery saying, keep it lit, do they think we're fools?
And you take that as
a straw poll in your local area,
but
there's that
saying,
much outrage against the government, and you're telling me it doesn't put a spring in your step.
So what they were actually saying is, again, do they think we are fools to think that they can sit in opposition and sit in government at the same time. And I think I think the person that we're talking about in terms of Michael Lowry and Tim's, all the findings that were laid against him, the commentary from, say, Micheál Martin around Michael Lowry over the last number of years, and yet he's sitting there negotiating with him, has done the deal, all of those different things. Yeah. You know, to me, that I think I worry for politics. And to be honest with you, we look at the last election.
You couldn't buy it as a member of opposition, could you?
If you look at the last election, we had the lowest turnout that we ever had. And people look at politics. And the one thing we want to do is people look at politics and say that this needs to work for us. This needs to make sure that the housing, that the health crisis that we have, that the issue around tariffs, which is coming up, all of those issues that are really, really important to them are the things that are dealt with on a daily basis in the Dáil. Okay. And unfortunately, what people see is they see Michael Lowry as a puppeteer in Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Cairn Corlaith.
Right. Grace Boland, your party accepted the findings of the Moriarty Tribunal report. There was overwhelming support for the motion for Michael Lowry to resign from the Dáil in 2011 when that report came out. Your former party leader, who had been, Enda Kenny, who had been friendly with Michael Lowry, distanced himself from Michael Lowry on the floor of the Dáil as well. And here he is, back at the heart of it. And this is the political fallout you have to deal with. I mean, if it's a good day for opposition, by extension, it's a bad, bad day for you.
Next week, we need a fully functioning Dáil. We need serious politicians who are proportionate in their response.
I know, and the Minister for Finance was on prime time tonight and he was talking, and we will get into the economic headwinds and everything else, but it's just not going away, is it?
It needs to. We are at a very serious time in our Irish history, in European history. We need to be serious and we need to address the issues that are really important.
I think if the government were serious, then they would have sat down with the opposition, and as they promised, and as the chief whip promised, that there would be agreement between both the opposition.
Okay. But does that not suggest a bit of compromise?
Well, there was supposed to be compromise. So that's what the promise that was made on the very first day when Micheál Martin was being installed as Taoiseach, and after all the things that had happened on that day, that there was a promise that was made that they would sit down in the business committee and that they would agree.
And where's the compromise being
forward.
From on your side
well,
of that?
Well, you see, the problem
on
is...
On what specific issue have you compromised?
Well, here's the thing, that there was agreement, and I'm not...
Michael Lowry and the Regional Independent Group will now no longer be sitting on opposition benches as a technical group. That one crossed off the list. You know, they are effectively now, they've been ruled by the Cairn Corlaith to be government TDs. The government has a majority. It can change the standing orders if they want. Standing orders have been changed before. Mm. So where's the compromise on your side?
Well, I'm not on the business committee, but here's the thing. The last day before the chief whip came in with an order basically saying, talks it over, we're going ahead with this, they're going to be sitting on the opposition benches, like it or lump it, we're going to force this vote through because we have a majority.
Gabby, all wars end. Where's this one going to end?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, saying the issue should go away, if you wanted it to go away, then perhaps you should have gone into government with TDs that involved not Michael Lowry, for example. I mean, it's inevitable that when you pick a character, somebody as controversial as him, mired in so much controversy, like, of course the opposition is going to come back at the issue over and over again throughout the lifetime of the government. There's lots of independent TDs that the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael could have gone into government with, and for whatever reason they chose not to. So, look, I think the speaking rights are out. I think it's probably parked for now. Yes, we'll see a bit of it next week. Verona will survive the no-confidence motion. But she is damaged and she will have to fix things up with the opposition. I know Aontú's Padraig Tobin suggested bringing in a mediator such as Ciarán Mulvey, for example, to patch things up and perhaps smooth things over. She's had a very tough time as, you know, a new Cian Corlaith, but also Seán O'Farrell cannot be Cian Corlaith forever. I mean, we're going to have a new Cian Corlaith at some stage, and I think she probably just wants to try and do a good job as the first female Cian Corlaith.
Right. You mentioned first female Cian Corlaith. I mean, watching a woman in difficulty there during the week, did you think there was any gender aspect to the whole thing?
Well, look, she did use, I mean, there was a word, the word misogyny was used and she picked it up and she did mention it herself. I think it would be, like, her statement was very strong in fairness during the week. She said, you know, she's very much so firmly pushing back against and calling on all TDs to think about what happened in the Dáil. Like, I don't think it's acceptable for a parliament to have the speaker, who's supposed to be the one in control of the parliament, telling deputies, sit down, you know, they've been elected by the people and to behave themselves, and they simply refuse to listen. Like, that's just not acceptable. It didn't happen under Sean O'Farrell's time, as far as I can recall. I think Sean O'Farrell was very clearly a government TD, but because the lines are a bit blurred this time, you know, that's where really a lot of that discontent with the opposition lies.
Right. There was a bit of a spat over his advice to people not to go to Taiwan, I think, but I don't know if it resulted in scenes.
Certainly we didn't see the delay of the vote of the Taoiseach happen. I mean, that was quite unprecedented also to you.
Teresa Reedy, what's, you know, the gender aspect that was introduced into the discussion, do you think it's relevant or a red herring?
I think the gender matters in one respect, that in terms of the optics of people looking in, it really is dreadful to see 70 people standing up shouting at a woman in the chair. However, I'm not necessarily, I don't believe that Verona Murphy's gender is necessarily kind of a critical element here. The one thing I would pick out is she is a less experienced Ceann Comhairle than we've had in the past. I mean, Sean O'Farrell had been in politics for a very long time before he ascended to that position.
She does have a law degree.
Absolutely, but she is only now in her second term. Sean Barrett had been in the Dáil for 25 years. And again, I think people are remembering with a degree of rose-tinted glasses quite how pleasant some of those are. I mean, Sean Barrett was that word that's used always about Micheál Martin. Sean Barrett was a very tetchy Ceann Comhairle often, and there were very significant scenes of turbulence and disagreement at times during his time as Ceann Comhairle. If I was going to rank them, I would say the fact that she was not in the Dáil for a very long period of time. She wasn't in the Dáil through previous moments of turbulence. Remember, the previous term was also a very different one. The first 2 years were entirely conducted outside of the Dáil in many respects. During the COVID period, they were on the other side of the Liffey. Normal business really only resumed midway through the Dáil term. So I think experience of perhaps previous more turbulent and truculent times in the Dáil might have stood to her in this. But I think it also has to be said, though, that, you know, there is no doubt, but there is a lack of proportion in terms of the response of the opposition here, both on the day that the Taoiseach should have been elected and now again this week. The reaction to what is a procedural matter really does appear to be somewhat disproportionate.
Right.
And the whole thing is bringing politics into disrepute.
OK, Paul Donnelly. Just on that latter point there.
Yeah, look, I don't think so. I actually heard Verona Murphy saying that word. I was actually quite shocked that she had said it. When you look at the makeup of the Dáil, you look at the makeup of the opposition. There are three female leaders. I know one of them is on maternity leave at the moment. But there are three female leaders. Sinn Féin have 40% of women in the Dáil representation. That was nothing to do with the gender of the Ceann Comhairle. It was to do with the actions of the Ceann Comhairle that day. Pure and simple.
Grace Boland.
It occurred to me sitting there that it was misogynistic. It's just unacceptable behaviour to look over to see so many people, and predominantly men
and women.
Women as well.
And predominantly men roaring and shouting the leader of our national parliament down. It's not how democracy works. It's gone too far. And
although
people
didn't do
better.
It to Catherine Connolly as last Ceann Comhairle. So,
as I said at the very start of our debate, it has been very clear from day one that the opposition has come in to be as obstructive to not only the democratic process, but to the Ceann Comhairle, who is the first female Ceann Comhairle. And I was sitting there and it occurred to me, would this be happening if it was a man in the chair?
Before we leave this issue, and we are going to park it, Paul Donnelly, next week, those speaking time slots that you objected to that have been now voted through, and the position of the Ceann Comhairle, there's two things there. Is it the intention of the opposition to withdraw cooperation with the directions of the Ceann Comhairle next week should she remain in place, which appears almost inevitable? And during those speaking slots, where will the opposition be or what will they do?
I think that's all to be decided. I think obviously the first thing that we have to face is the motion of no confidence. I think we'll see what happens after that. Hopefully, you know, there may be some resolution, or hope there is some resolution that comes to it beforehand. The government sees sense and ensure that those who, as I said, those people who are opposition TDs go on the government benches. And I think that's the solution through this, is negotiation.
Would you be open to meet mediator Ciarán Mulvey or others?
That's above my pay grade.
Right. Although you did say, I mean, you said it's, you know, the opposition's prerogative to disobey the Crown Corla, to remain on your feet, to continuously shout across other people if the issue is of such importance and you feel like you're not getting a fair hearing. So presumably, you know, you're not going to change your mind on that between now and Tuesday. Similar scenes could erupt next week.
I have no idea. We'll wait and see.
All right. OK, let's go to the listeners on this one. OK, unhealthy precedent to turn the Crown Corla into a government role if the election of the Crown Corla is by secret ballot. Is the motion of confidence done the same way? About the late debates, generalised assumption by TD that people want to stop talking about standing orders. How does she know that apart from mind-reading people? Debate, please, not generalised, says Claire in Cork. The reality is it's not about the Crown Corla. It's not about the speaking time. It's not about the shambles in the Dáil. It's very simple. It's about those in government wanting to be in opposition, block capitals, at the same time. The rest is just block capitals, quotation marks, waffling, as Bertie would say. It doesn't matter whether it's for 8 minutes or 8 hours, it's wanting to be on both sides, being the prosecutor and the defendant at the same time, being the goalie for one team and the striker for the other. That's it, block capitals again, says Betty. We have an issue in political discourse where raising your voice about the erosion of democracy is deemed worse than the erosion of democracy itself. And in a climate where democratic backsliding is happening across Europe and the US, this is really concerning, says Jarlath. I hope this is referring to the Dáil, not the show. Quote, this is so embarrassing to listen to. They sound like a bunch of Neanderthals. I've never heard the like of it in any other country. Obviously, the new Crown Corla cannot control the room. As the majority of politicians are men, I truly feel that it should be a man as Crown Corla. A holy show is right and pathetic, says Jacinta. Now, and Catherine Connolly did a much better job in the opinion of Aoife at Crown Corla, so gender shouldn't be relevant. Well, Catherine Connolly was last Crown Corla. And there you go, Aoife. Thanks to you and everyone for the text. Now, there are gloomy outlooks both on the issue of housing and other areas, tariffs as well, by the ESRI. We're going to have a look at that after this short break. Back in a minute.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.